It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Everything is more okay when it's happy almost Friday. Ooh, that kind of rhymes too. Well, I hope that you kicked your Thursday's butt in the rear end and it gave you a jump start on the weekend. I've been thinking about our friends and family members and listeners in Florida, watching some of the coverage in the wake of Hurricane Milton and on top of Hurricane Helene, and seeing posts and getting text messages from friends who are in the area. Many people, many Florida residents, especially on the West Coast near Tampa, though the storm did end up going south of Tampa, wasn't a direct hit on Tampa. Was far worse in St. Pete and some of the other places like Sarasota and on down into Siesta Key and Fort Myers area. But seeing some of the photos and hearing some of the stories and getting text messages, people calling it the worst storm they've ever seen on that side of Florida. And so for that reason, I know there are a lot of people that are still without power, a lot of people that are just beginning to clean up, just beginning to see the waters recede, and maybe are wondering how long it's going to take them to clean up and get back to quote unquote normal or typical. Gosh, and then seeing some of the first responders go into places with boats to rescue people. I saw one video from the Orlando area where some first responders were in a boat in the streets. So this was not in a body of water. They were in the streets because there were street signs there in the video, and the water's almost all the way up to the top of the street sign. And this one video showed them pulling a young boy, a 14-year-old boy, out of the water. He had been clinging to a piece of debris, maybe a piece of wood from a home or a shutter, something along those lines. And they pulled him out of the water and able to pull him into the boat. And he was really grateful. Those types of acts of service and acts of heroism are taking place all over the Florida area. And I know they're still taking place in the wake of Hurricane Helene. And I'm nothing but a talking head. And you can't even see my head. I'm just a voice somewhere. But I do want to add my sincere thank you to those people, not just first responders, law enforcement, those who drive ambulances, EMTs, firefighters, of course, but how about the thousands of linemen who are doing what they can to restore power to some of these places who've been without? And I think of those who went out of state or came from out of state to go to North Carolina and Georgia and Florida and Tennessee and the hardest hit areas by Hurricane Helene when they could get access. And a lot of these same linemen now are being asked to go and pitch in Florida. And some of them, as you can imagine, are exhausted and have been working round the clock trying to reconnect lines or clear away down power lines and restore neighborhoods and customers, thousands and thousands and thousands of them who are waiting. I have one friend who is in the Athens, Georgia area, and they went a full week without power after Helene. And so she's in a place, Athens, Georgia, Augusta, actually, she's in Augusta, not Athens, my fault. She's in Augusta, and they went a full week without power because of the number of trees that were down and power lines that were down with them. And there's not a whole lot you can do when you don't have power, and now there are large swaths of Florida that don't have power or have water. So I know there's still a long way to go for people to get their lives back on track or to feel like they're in a rhythm again. And I just want to say thank you to all the first responders and those who have rushed in, providing medical support, providing food and water. And if there's anything at all that we can do to keep you company, we're happy to do that. So I hope that you came through the storm better than you expected, that you've been able to reach out to all of your loved ones and your friends in the area. Again, I've seen lots of posts, like many of you have, about homes and businesses. Gosh, did you see the huge crane that we had talked about in St. Petersburg that fell in the midst of the storm? Apparently fell into newspaper offices or a media company. I believe it was a newspaper. And damaged, severely damaged, taking out windows and parts of floors, severely damaged the whole corner of this building. Now, they don't have a ton of skyscrapers in St. Pete, but this crane fell onto a large building and severely damaged the offices of a, I think it was a newspaper company. And of course, you guys have all seen the video by now. Most of you have seen the video by now of Tropicana Field. And the statement that was released by the Rays about how they would need maybe weeks to assess the damage that was done in the storm. I didn't see the video from inside until we were almost off the air on Thursday morning and was able to find another video of a drone flying over that also got shared. And so that was later in the morning. I was able to share both of those on my Twix account, though. At A Law Radio, if you haven't seen them, the second video, which is the drone footage, is in full color and you can really see the field and how it looked with all the debris strewn all over it. And so again, you can find that at A Law Radio. It's pretty incredible, though, as I've heard now reported by local agencies, the roof was built to withstand hurricane winds of up to 115 miles per hour. It did not, of course, because the majority of the roof is gone. You can see right through it. But officials had the foresight, Governor Ron DeSantis and his team had the foresight, knowing that it was going to be a direct hit to the Tampa St. Pete area. They ended up moving those cots out of the Tropicana, well, out of the base of Tropicana Field, out of the Tropicana Field dome, and had already taken them away so that they wouldn't end up adding to the debris and there wouldn't be any people inside there, which I just think is really incredible. They found another staging area. What foresight and what planning to be able to prevent any people from getting injured or, in worst case scenario, loss of life because of that accident or because of that roof getting blown off at Tropicana Field. So the videos are pretty stark, and there are a lot of videos from all over Florida in the daylight on Thursday to be able to see what was left in the wake of Hurricane Milton. I'm just grateful for the people who drop everything and are able to get out there and help. I wish I could. I really wish I could. My husband and I have said that multiple times after what's happened, especially in North Carolina and some of the other areas after Helene, how much we wish that we could drop everything and go and pitch in and help deliver supplies to people. And maybe someday, unfortunately, our current jobs don't allow us to. So we're able to make a donation to Samaritan's Purse because they're on the ground there in North Carolina since their headquarters are there. And so I'm just so appreciative of those of you who are able to get out and help and wear yourselves out doing it to take care of other Americans. You are greatly appreciated from this one radio host, but also a fellow American. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. We're glad to have you with us. Final show of the work week. It has been a doozy of a week, and it is not over. Even when we get to Friday, what do we know? Well, we know that we have game fives this weekend. Not one, but two. Oh my gosh, I just heard LeBron in my head. Not one, not two, not three. Well, thankfully, it's just two. I mean, I shouldn't say that. That was kind of selfish of me. It would be great if it was more than two, I suppose. But at some point, I'm ready to get on to the LCS. I'm ready to get on to the World Series. October's a lot. I was saying to a fellow co-host, or not of my show, but a host of another show on our New York affiliate, who was prepping out in the newsroom as I was prepping too. And I was just admitting to him that sometimes in October, I resent sports. I know it's good for business. It really is. But sometimes I resent the fact that I can't have one evening without there being 17 games on the schedule that I have to watch, and forget the start of the NHL season. As much as I would like to be able to pay attention to it, there's just no way to really do it other than to track the headlines. We've even got the WNBA finals going on right now as well. Game one taking place in New York. Well, they play at Barclays, right? New York Liberty plays at Barclays. And so the first game of the series between the Lynx and the Liberty went into overtime, and there was a game winner, a 4-point play actually late in the fourth quarter that forces overtime, and then the Lynx were able to beat the Liberty in a rally in game one. So big deal there, their finals. And I don't know if you saw the headlines coming from the WNBA. They're expanding the season next year. They're going to add to their playoff series and expand those as well. So, you know, the playoff expansion, it's contagious around pro sports. By the way, this is a total side note. I don't know how I saw this on social media, because I'm not on TikTok, but Caitlin Clark and one of her teammates, Lexi Hall from the Indiana Fever, did this entire 4-minute video where they pulled up to some kind of a fast food joint and ordered a bunch of different drinks, and they were trying them on this video just to let people know which ones they liked and which ones they didn't. And I thought the whole time, this is completely mindless. And yet how many millions of Americans out there would love to see Caitlin Clark in a completely different setting where she's just hanging out, being a 22-year-old, having a grand old time trying drinks and evaluating those drinks with her teammate on a TikTok video. So it was, again, it was completely mindless. It's the kind of entertainment that you want for 22-year-olds when they have time off, and she certainly deserves that, so I'm happy for her. But then hours later, I saw her sitting down with, I think it was ABC, Good Morning America. She was in New York, all dressed up, makeup on, hair looks real pretty. And she's doing an interview about her first year in the WNBA and about how competitive she was as a third grader. And so, yeah, that's Caitlin Clark. Hang out with your teammate, do dumb videos on TikTok, and then turn around and dress up to the nines and do an interview in person on Good Morning America. And so, yes, the WNBA wants to capitalize on the popularity of Caitlin Clark, as well as the surging popularity for the rest of their league. And I understand why they're expanding. 44 games is a lot, though. It's a lot. I wonder if that will encourage some of these women to stay home and not play overseas, because the season will require a lot more from them. As I say, WNBA finals underway, Major League Baseball going to a pair of game fives, one in the American League, one in the National League, and we'll get to those results coming up. The Yankees and the Mets. That's weird. The Yankees and the Mets are the first two teams to move into the Final Four in Major League Baseball. And so they will end up getting a couple extra days off. We'll talk about Yankees and Royals. I know a lot of Yankees fans thrilled to see Aaron Judge come through with a big double in this clinching victory in Kansas City at Kauffman Stadium. What a run for the Royals. They have nothing to hang their heads about. And then, if you remember, it was Sunday night, right, Pete? We were celebrating the Carrie Carpenter moment. Was that Sunday or Monday? the Cary Carpenter moment with the Detroit Tigers and the huge home run that he hit. I'll have to go back and look even while I'm talking to you guys. But now the Cleveland Guardians have their incredible home run. That was game two of the ALDS, right? So that would have been Sunday. Yeah, so we were shoehorning it in with the NFL coverage week five. But yes, Cary Carpenter and the Tigers got their massive home run moment, and they did it in Cleveland in game two. Well, the Guardians turn around, and game four at Comerica Park, they get what is their, at this point, signature 2024 playoff moment with the David Fry home run. And wow, it was a big fly, and it was really cool to see the reaction of not just him as he gets a hold of it, but also the reaction of their dugout and the clubhouse afterwards. Awesome. So the Guardians and Tigers are headed back to the shores of Lake Erie, back to Cleveland for a game five. It does not happen until Saturday. And I think because it's the only game five on Saturday, it's a night game. So looking at the timing, yes, Cleveland time, 8:08 Eastern. So you're competing with college football in that window. We know the Tigers will have Tarek Skubal, their ace, on the mound. Cleveland right now has not announced a starter. But between now and then, we've got the Padres and the Dodgers, their game five, which starts at 5:08 LA time. So 5:08 Pacific time. Back at Chavez Ravine, it's you, Darvish, and it's Yamamoto. I love it. You and Yama in a game five. That's really neat and great for the international presence of baseball and the excitement internationally with these two guys who will take the ball in game five. So we will get to baseball. Now we're also underway week six in the NFL. This was an NFC West battle, and the San Francisco 49ers to this point were 0-2 inside their division, a division that they won handily last year, a division that they were expected, I think in many cases, to maybe not dominate, but to be the early leader, to kind of use all these weapons, this ready-made Super Bowl team to assert their dominance and to keep that hold on the division. And yet they found themselves looking up at the Seahawks. And not just that, both their losses in the NFC West had come after they were leading by double figures in the second half. And so there they were again with a 20-point lead over the Seahawks. Early third quarter, after a touchdown pass from Brock Purdy to George Kittle, they're up 23-3. So how quickly did the Seahawks climb in and make this a one-score game? Well, we'll talk about it next. So this was an opportunity for the Niners to close the door where they had not previously this season, for a chance for them to buck up and take care of their business and not allow the Seahawks to steal this one. Though, of course, Seattle a bit desperate for a win as well, considering that they had dropped back-to-back games. So, a battle for first place in the NFC West. We'll get to that. We've already got our poll up, courtesy of producer Pete. What is the after-hours game of the week? Week six. How did we get to week number six? But we are here, and we've got some great battles, a couple in division, a couple out of division. I think a lot of people are thrilled about Ravens and Commanders, but how do you overlook Cowboys and Lions? So you can decide. Take the After Hours Game of the Week poll. I'll get that up on our Facebook page as well. It was great to catch up with Mark Ross on our last show. If you missed it, a lot of good intel for week six. We went over some of the biggest matchups and some of the burning questions about the league. For instance, how can the Jets fix their offense? Why now for Drake May? What qualities make Jaden Daniels an early success? And so a lot of good stuff with him. We actually talked about the potential Cowboys and Niners panic. Panic button. Is anyone pressing the panic button? Where the Browns turn from this point moving forward. So again, really good stuff. You can always find those links to our podcast at Amy After Hours, at our Facebook page named after the show. Of course, you can use mine as well at A-Law Radio. And it's 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. We'll dive into the first game of week six straight ahead. And then why in the world are the Royals and the Yankees having a strongly worded conversation with everyone involved? I do love these, what they call benching clearers. It's just, we got to get out there. We got to puff out our chest and we got to make sure that we got everybody's back. All of us, all together in the middle of the field. Oh, good stuff. I love October. Sometimes I resent October, but I love October as well. Good evening to you, almost Friday. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
A pistol. They ride the mesh point to Mason Brock and a throw out left. Wide open. Debo Samuel makes the catch and now speeding down the sideline. 30, 20, 15, 10, 5. Touchdown! San Francisco!
First touchdown receiving of the year for Debo.
Three receivers to the right of the line. Single wide left. Now Jennings motioning. Right to left and back to the right. Shotgun snap to Purdy. Purdy pats the football. Throws to the right side for the end zone. Oh. It's caught by George Kittle. And he drags his toe across the line for the touchdown. George Kittle running across the goal line to the front right corner. Makes the catch. And somehow able to drag not one but both feet. And add to the lead. It's 22-3, San Francisco.
It's time to pull on the pads and hit somebody on After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Impressive, a man of George Kittle's size, able to control his feet, make them do what he wants them to do. He's obviously got a big frame. He's a tall dude, and yet dancer's feet, I tell you, like Fred Astaire, able to get both those toes down and keep himself in bounds with the football. And so making sure that he secures that touchdown, one of his two on the night. And that put the Niners in front 23-3 early in the third quarter. That was their opening drive of the second half. Well, that's a familiar place for the San Francisco 49ers, especially in a division game, this time against the Seattle Seahawks. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Debo Samuel takes a pass from Purdy and is able to truck. He does truck 76 yards. And so they had a bunch of different pieces of the offense working. Jordan Mason in there still because there's no Christian McCaffrey. He was picking up yardage in the first half. You get the calls from the Niners Radio Network, Greg Papa, and then also from our friend Kevin Kugler on Westwood One. Well, right after that George Kittle touchdown, things changed dramatically in this one.
Laviska Shenault, D. Williams, the two deep men. This one's going to come up short. Out to the 3-yard line is Laviska Shenault. Out across the 20. Cuts back inside. 25-30. Breaks a tackle. He's on the run. He could go. 40. 35 being chased. 20. 15. 10. Laviska Shenault, our hero of the game so far. Touchdown, Seahawks. Just exactly.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
When the Seahawks needed something to happen, some bit of good luck, Laviska Shenault takes it almost 100 yards for the touchdown.
That's the call with Steve Rabel on the Seahawks radio network. And yes, they definitely needed Shenault in that moment. That provided a jolt of energy to the fans as well as to the Seahawks on the sidelines. And right after that, the defense is able to hold the Niners to, I think it was 4 snaps. They kick the ball right back to the Seahawks. And at this point now, the Seahawks start to put pressure on that Niners defense. 94-yard drive, 13 plays, but you got to get into the end zone.
Second down and 1. Turn, hand to Walker. This time he is going to get in. Touchdown, Seahawks! And Ken Walker, the third, just slams that ball down in the end zone. He has done the hard, heavy lifting so far tonight. His 5th touchdown of the season from a yard out. And the Seahawks are getting back into this one with the Niners on top 23-16.
Steve Rabel tells you that story. They definitely were. And it had to feel a bit like deja vu. And for the 97-yard touchdown, you're talking about very quick, right? And so the second that that Niners defense had thought that they were going to be out there and they were going to be on the field, instead it's the Seahawks defense that has to go right back out. But they, impressively enough, as I say, a short possession, they give the ball back to Geno in the offense, and then the pressure's on for a 94-yard march. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. You can look at this box score. Not every box score can you look at and understand the story of this game, but there is one very glaring issue with the Seahawks in this one, and sometimes that's all it takes. You lose the turnover battle, and that can be the difference.
Smith and Jigba goes in motion, followed by Diamondor Lenore. Lockett is wide right. Metcalf and JSN are left. First and 18. Geno back. Geno time. Geno steps up, throws, intercepted by Renardo Green, the rookie. 20, 15 out of bounds. Both rookies in the secondary have a pick tonight.
How about that, Renardo Green? And he just undercuts a DK Metcalf in cut, and that was late and not a good decision to throw by Geno Smith as a twist game was working up in front of him, and they get pressure right in his face, and he makes a big-time mistake.
Play clock at 5-4. Snap to Brock. Brock going to throw left for the end zone. It's caught by George Kittle. Touchdown! San Francisco!
Kittle over the middle on an in cut and an absolute rope from Brock Purdy right in between two defenders.
I like it. Kittle over the middle, though not spelled the same way. The call's there again on the Niners radio network. And 12 points off turnovers. That's really the stat that you need to know. They won by 12 points. 3 turnovers in the first half. They were able to get a pair of field goals. So not into the end zone, which is a win for Seattle. But ultimately, that touchdown, the second one that goes to Kittle, is a touchdown following an interception. And so 3-0, the Seahawks lose that turnover battle. And ultimately, that's how they lose the game. Now, their game, Geno Smith threw 52 times in this one. And he is able to connect with Tyler Lockett for a touchdown that pulls them within 5 points. 5 because the Niners had gone for the 2-point conversion on their second Kittle TD and didn't get in. But with 1:44 to go, they're running out of time. And, yeah, we're getting to know more of these Niners rookies.
On the 19-yard line, you need one first down. You don't have McCaffrey. You don't have Mitchell. You don't have J.P. Mason.
It's Isaac Garendo.
We like Ike. Can he do it? Hand off to Garendo off the right side. He runs for a first down, and he's going to score. He should go down, but he may just score his first touchdown in the NFL. Garendo 10, 5, pulled down on the 1-yard line. Perfect. The game is over. Runs it down to the 2-yard line.
We got a new closer, baby.
The excitement there on Niners radio. Now, weirdly enough, it wasn't the end of the game. And while the rookie stopped short, so he did get touched, but he easily could have gotten into the end zone if that's what he wanted to do. While the rookie ends up falling to try to run some time off the clock, so he stops short of the goal line, Seattle calls a timeout. And at this point, had all three of its timeouts still remaining. So the Seahawks have to use a timeout. It's first and goal at their 5-yard line then. Guerrero takes a carry or takes the handoff. He doesn't go anywhere, forcing Seattle to use another timeout. So then at this point, it's second and goal. Kyle Juszczyk takes the ball. He powers in, and that gives the Niners the 12-point margin. But there's still time. So it's kind of funny because the rookie could have had his first touchdown in his NFL career. Instead, it goes to Kyle Juszczyk. Though I suppose they take, 22 seconds off the clock. You never know what those 22 seconds could have mean. But Geno Smith and the Seahawks run out of time and ultimately put themselves in too big a hole. And had to throw the ball maybe a lot more than they wanted to. They only managed just 52 yards rushing. But from the Niners' perspective, this is huge because they had coughed up double-figure leads in the second halves of their two games previously against NFC West opponents. And that was definitely on Kyle Shanahan's mind as the Seahawks were pulling within a couple points.
I mean, I'm not going to go to what's happened on our last two losses. It's just staying locked in, not trying to get any negative feelings, and just trying to do it one play at a time. You try to keep our team that way, but it's not like I talked to a bunch of people right then. So just calling plays and stuff, you don't try to think that way. Our goal is to be locked in the entire game, regardless of what the score was, and I thought the guys played like that.
1,000%. And, that was something. Yeah, it sucks, but yes. It was something that felt familiar for sure. And I'm like, hey, we can go one of two ways right here. We can stand tall in a hostile environment in the game that we know that we got to get. Or, we can settle for exactly how we've been doing, how we've been playing the last couple weeks, or the last, couple losses we've had. And that's what I'm probably most proud about right now is, the way we stood up.
So Fred Warner, captain of the Niners defense, says 1,000% it's on his mind. Yes, it's something that you're thinking about, and you don't want to see three division games have slip through your fingers because you can't protect the lead at the end. By the way, the ratings, I guess it's not really ratings, it's more like viewership numbers. People who've logged into the game on Amazon Prime, they are up so far to start this season. And so Prime is getting its money's worth, I guess. I guess that's up to Amazon to decide if it's worth it, but they're paying billions of dollars for the rights to Thursday Night Football. But they are seeing more subscribers. They are seeing more people tune into these games. And so it's clear that the NFL is driving people to Amazon Prime. And the broadcasts are good. I think after working out some of the kinks early when they got into this broadcasting realm, this broadcasting circus, they've worked out some of those things. I did just see a headline that they've re-signed Ryan Fitzpatrick to another, I think it's 3-year deal to work on TNF. So they plan to be in it for the long haul. And for me, probably for many of you as well, I've taken to watching the game on my laptop. I know, Marco, you're here, so you don't have to bring a laptop because you've got a computer in there. But what are you doing? You're watching baseball on TV and then watching the game on the computer?
No, I can't do that with the way our system is set up. So if I'm in my little closet, I have one TV and I'm either flipping back and forth, or I can go into the newsroom where we have a few different TVs and I can.
But how can you watch? Oh, so you're casting. Prime is being cast on TV.
Yeah, we have a situation, a setup here where we can put it on one of the TVs.
Gotcha. Yes. Okay, so I don't have that at home. My Prime is on my TV, but the problem is you can't quickly back out of it,
yes,
out of the app, and go to a baseball game. Now I've taken to watching football on my laptop and then during commercials muting it and having baseball on TV in front of me. And with my DVR, I can get, two channels are recording at the same time. And so if I miss something on one baseball game, I just rewind and go back. And so, yeah, it's a 3-ring circus at my house.
I'll say this. That's the one thing about the streaming that I've been saying from the start. The biggest pain it, to me, is the idea that you can't just flip back and forth with TVs, with channels. And I know, well, you could set up three or four TVs. I get that, too. I understand. But here's the thing. We had cable so that we could actually, you know, be able to change channels.
Yes.
And now I feel like we're back in 1987 where I got to figure out a way to, you know, I can't watch two things at the same time. Like, that's the one we got to figure out. It's got to be a little easier. I know I can get to it, but the commercial is only 2.5 minutes long. I can't spend two of the minutes trying to get from stream to whatever.
Yeah, it's not easy. And for my TV, you know, I have a smart TV, of course. I've got one remote for that. I've got another remote for cable. It just, it's convoluted. And so I've chosen to just watch football on my laptop, which is easier. And the one thing I do like about Prime is that when you leave the app, so if you stop and go look at something else, they do give you the option of resuming from where you left off. So that is something I like about the Prime broadcast, but it's not simple to navigate. And in October, it's just not worth it for me to put it on my TV. So thankfully, I have a laptop that has a good screen and I'm able to watch it there.
Yeah. And again, everybody's got their own way. I feel like we're still in the infancy. There's got to be a better way to get from one stream to the other stream or stream to cable.
No, they don't want you to do that, though. They don't want you to leave their
app.
Cable
didn't want me to change the channel either, but they allowed me to do it. This is still about me, right? It's still about us as
always,
the subscribers. Like,
always
we still
got
to be able to figure out one way or the other. Like,
is all about Marco.
It can't just be, hey, get a wall of TVs in your living room.
No,
like,
I can't afford that. Yeah, who can afford
that? You'd be surprised how many people have like a wall of TVs.
I can't afford that, and I watch sports for a living, for heaven's sakes.
And I'll be fair. I'm a little snobbish. I don't want to watch TV on a computer or my phone. I know I'm being ridiculous, but I don't want to watch the game on a 4-inch screen on my phone.
Agreed.
Or a 12-inch screen or anything. Look, I bought the TV to watch TV.
Right? I agree with you.
The big thing that's in the living room, I want to watch it on that.
I don't watch sports on my phone either. It's way too small. You can't see anything.
Even people like, you know, well, didn't you watch the show? Like, why don't you put it on the phone so you can watch it when you... I don't want to watch TV
on a phone.
On my phone.
Agreed. I agree with you on that.
Okay. I know I'm supposed to be able to bend. I'm stubborn. All right.
No.
I bought the TV because I wanted to watch TV on the TV.
Big screen. We want to be able to see it in great detail.
And it makes me
high
nuts.
Def. Yes.
So we got to get there. We got to get there. At some point, we got
to
get there.
Please, for Marco, so I don't have to hear this ever again. At A-Law Radio, vote for the After Hours Game of the Week. We'll get that up on Facebook as well. Coming up next hour, our friend Tracy Sandler of the Fangirl Sports Network. In fact, that's her baby. She created it. It's nationwide now. She covers the Niners for Fangirl Sports. And she will join us from Seattle in the wake of Thursday Night Football. And we'll get some more post-game reaction straight ahead. Plus, baseball! We're getting to the end of the division series round. Two more Game 5 still to come, though. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Here's our latest sports update. And here's Marco. He's cranky.
Infinity cranky. Sports Network. Sports Flash.
All-in 49ers looking to finish off the Seahawks and earn themselves a spot atop the NFC West.
Play clock at 5-4. Snap to Brock. Brock going to throw left for the end zone. It's caught by George Kittle. Touchdown! San Francisco!
255 yards, 3 TD passes for Brock Purdy, 2 going to George Kittle, the other a 76-yarder to Deebo Samuel as the 49ers outscored the Seahawks 36-24. Call courtesy of the 49ers Radio Network. Niners ran for 228 yards. They forced 3 turnovers. Geno Smith, 312 in the air, a touchdown, but 2 picks as both teams are now 3-3. Jets, another shakeup on their coaching staff. Nathaniel Hackett no longer calling plays. Todd Downing will now take over those duties under the new interim head coach and Jeff Ulbrich. Aaron Rodgers, of course, very close to Hackett, but didn't stand in the way of this decision.
I love Nathaniel. I mean, he's one of my dearest friends in the league, and obviously a tough situation, but I think it speaks volume to the character that he has, that he wanted to stick around, be here for me, be here for Todd, support Todd. So it's credit to the man that he is.
Russell Wilson, a full go at practice for a second straight day. Unclear what his role will be for the Steelers come Sunday. Colts also got Anthony Richardson back at practice. Still unclear if it'll be Richardson or Joe Flacco on Sunday. Baseball playoffs, Yankees looking to finish off the Royals.
Here's the 2-2. A ground ball at the middle. Base hit, center field. A hot shot. Judge scores, Stanton at first with a ribby single, and the Yankees take a 3-0 lead.
Giancarlo Stanton continued his hot hitting as the Yankees finished off the Royals 3-1, take the series in 4. John Sterling, the call, Yankees Radio Network. Gerrit Cole, 7 innings of one-run baseball. Bombers going to the ALCS. Meanwhile, David Fry, the hero, with a pinch-hit go-ahead 2-run shot in the 7th. Guardians upend the Tigers 5-4. They force a deciding Game 5 back in Cleveland on Saturday. WNBA Finals, the Lynx rallied from 18 points down. They shocked the Liberty in overtime, 95-93, as they take Game 1. And from college football, Oklahoma's leading wideout, Deion Burks, not expected to play against top-ranked Texas, that due to a soft tissue injury. I'm Marco Belletti.
855-212-4227. That's the number to get in touch with us, the Infinity Sports Network. Give us a call, 855-212-4227.
Good here, but a lot to dissect here. Too many mistakes on special teams. The short kickoff. Gino rolling right, and a throw for the end zone here, and a Hail Mary jump ball incomplete. And the Niners will take over and kneel the game out.
Now I feel great, it. Baby. Now I feel great.
49ers are in first place in the NFC West. What a battle in Seattle this was.
Oh, my goodness.
Wow.
Woo-wee.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Did the Niners dodge another bullet, or was this a step forward in their progress toward becoming a team that could compete for another Super Bowl appearance? When we talk to Tracy Sandler next hour, so she's going to join us from Seattle, finishing up some work for Fangirl Sports Network. Already put the tweet out there, and so if you want to follow her, you can. She's covered the Niners for a long time, but she's actually based in L.A., believe it or not. And so she goes back and forth between SoCal and NoCal. She's a huge Dodgers fan, was also at Dodgers Game 1 between them and the Padres, and so I'm of course going to have to ask her about Game 5 that's coming up on Friday. She will join us a few minutes after the top of the hour, so about 12:20 Pacific time. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, 855-212-4227. We got some big matchups on the schedule this weekend. You're already voting furiously. We have had some really tight polls this week. It's been awesome. Our Monday MVP poll was separated by 0.3 percentage points. The winner turning out to be, I forgot who the winner was. The winner was not Pat Surtain. Was it Lamar? It was Lamar Jackson? No, it wasn't. It was, I'm going to have to go back and look at the poll. Hold on. I can do this. It was Kyler Murray. So after the Cardinals rallied past the Niners, it was Kyler Murray. Yeah, so Kyler beat out Pat Surtain by 0.3 percentage points. Then our TD of the week is not even a full percentage point. It's under that between Lamar Jackson touchdown to Isaiah Likely. And then also to, or again with Pat Surtain by 1 percentage point, we end up having those two go neck and neck all the way through the poll. So Isaiah Likely catching what was the very end of that touchdown. But yeah, Lamar had to run and escape and the stiff arm and everything else. And now we've got early and brisk competition between the top two teams, at least front runners out of the gate. We'll call them the rabbits, like in a horse race where they set the pace. They're called the rabbits. So it is pinned to the top of our show Twix at Amy After Hours, and I swear it's going to go up on Facebook very soon. I'm sorry. I got to give you, Pete, the login to our Facebook page so that you can start to help out with some of those things, because it's a lot to manage, and I sometimes during the show, I forget to get the post up. Like I did that last week with Monday MVP. I never even put it up on the Facebook page, so that's my faux pas. I do really apologize for that. My brain is going a million miles an hour during the show. Well, leading up to the show, during the show. Sometimes I don't realize my mistakes until after. We've decided we need a corrections department. For instance, Pete, this was something on last night's show that I meant to go back and correct and didn't have the opportunity, but we were talking about the Tigers and their most recent trip to the World Series, which actually was 2012. Their last trip to the ALCS was 13, but their last trip to the World Series was 12, and that was the big Justin Verlander year. So we were off by a year, which is okay, but I do like to try to be as accurate as possible. And sometimes when I'm going off the cuff, the dates all blend together in my brain. So the Niners able to hold off Geno Smith and Kenneth Walker and DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett with that incomplete pass late in the game. They only end up with 52 rushing yards, which I think is significant because the team itself, they've now dropped three in a row. You can imagine they want to have more balance, especially against some of these teams in the NFC West. But Geno throws for 312 with a touchdown and a couple interceptions.
Obviously, we did a lot of things that you don't want to do when you talk about winning football games. We didn't control the ball, didn't control the clock, turned the ball over, had penalties. You know, all the things that we talk about every week, you know. Like I said, man, when you play against good teams, well-coached teams, you can't shoot yourself in the foot. And, you know, those are the things that we're doing right now. I mean, that's to be totally honest with you. You know, we're just getting in our own way, and we got to, you know, stop doing that.
It stings to have lost three in a row. This to lose against your division rival at home in primetime, such a great environment. Guys fought their tails off down to the last minute. But we're not playing well enough to beat the team we need to be.
Mike McDonald, welcome to the NFL in the world of head coaching, where life comes at you fast. You start out 3-0 and people heralding you as the new coaching phenom, and then turn around and all of a sudden you've dropped three in a row and it's getting a whole lot more challenging. But that is life in the NFL. Sometimes you're the windshield, sometimes you're the bug. Sometimes you're the lemon, sometimes you're the lemonade. Now, straight ahead, we're going to pivot to baseball, playoff baseball for a couple of minutes, and then back to football. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. It's
better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.